This is Audible.
The Gunfight, a Western short story, written by J. C. Hulsey, narrated by Bob Rundell.
"What time is it?"
I asked Bart Jardine. Bart has been my friend since we were very young.
10 minutes later than the last time you asked," he answered. "What time?"
I asked again angrily. He pulled his watch from his shirt pocket, glanced at it, then put it back.
"It's 2:45. Don't worry, he'll be there."
"That's what's got me worried."
Wiping my hand across my face,
"I'm hoping he'll back out."
"Not a chance. After the things you said to him, I tried to tell you not to call him out, but you thought he would back down. Well, he didn't.
This whole thing has blown all out of proportion. He's just a kid. I don't want to kill a young kid like him. It'll hurt my reputation. But if I don't brace him, that'll also hurt my reputation. I'm between a rock and a hard place, and I put myself there."
It all started 3 days ago when Tom Malone walked into the saloon. Bart and me were sitting at a table in the middle of the room.
"Looky there, Bart,"
I said loudly.
"Ain't that the Malone kid?"
"Yeah, I believe it is,"
answered Bart.
"I didn't know he was old enough to come into the saloon."
The room had gotten quiet.
"How old you gotta be?"
asked Bart.
"You know what I think?"
I continued.
"It ought to be against the law for a young kid like that to be in here."
Malone walked over to where we were sitting and stopped in front of the table.
"Did I hear you ask if I was old enough to drink?"
He looked me square in the face, his hand hovering above his six-gun. I looked at him, then at Bart.
"Is that what I asked you, Bart?"
"I believe it is,"
answered Bart. I looked back at the kid.
"I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to my friend here. A private conversation."
"If you're going to have a private conversation, then you need to talk quieter. I heard you as did most everybody in the room,"
he challenged,
"and I didn't like what I heard."
"What you going to do about it?"
I dropped my hand to the handle of my pistol.
"I figure that's going to be up to you," he said.
"I'm going to give you a chance, kid,"
I said sarcastically,
"to walk away, 'cause you're so young."
"Don't think I will,"
he said, glaring at me.
"Okay, I'll put it this way,"
I said.
"I'll be out in the middle of the street at exactly 6:00. If you plan on being there, you need to get everything in order, because you won't be able to later."
"I'll be there."
He turned his back on me and strolled to the bar.
"Set me up a beer, Fred."
"Boy, he's got some nerve,"
Bart said.
"But you know what I heard about him?"
"What?"
I asked him. "Folks say he's fast as an angry rattler. Say, ain't this kind of like the way it started with you? I mean, you was young, almost as young as Malone." "Yeah, I reckon it is."
My mind started remembering when I was 18, just a snot-nosed kid. But I had been practicing with my new Colt 45, and I thought I was the fastest gun around. I heard about a man, a gunfighter named Rodney Snow, was coming to town. When he showed, somebody came and told me he was at Gregory's Saloon. I calmly walked there, hitching up my gun belt, hesitating just long enough at the door to look the place over. Snow was sitting at a table on the left side of the room. I pushed through the door slowly and stepped inside. The noise, which had been very loud, now quieted to a gentle purr. A few patrons got up from their tables and left the building. I walked calmly to the bar. I could not only feel him watching me, but I could also feel every eye in the room looking first at him, then at me. I stopped at the end of the bar, facing him.
"Give me a drink,"
I told the bartender.
"Whiskey?"
Kellogg, the bartender, asked.
"Make it a double,"
I said. He placed two glasses on the bar.
"Mind if I join you?"
as he poured two fingers into each glass.
"Sure, have one on me. In fact, set 'em up for everybody, and take a bottle over to the man sitting at the back table."
"I really don't want to do that,"
he said, shaking his head.
"Why not?"
I asked.
"He's not in a very good mood. He's already run three guys out of here."
"Give it to me. I'll take it to him."
"You sure you want to do that?"
"Just give me the bottle."
He handed me a half-empty bottle.
"Give me a full one."
"He ain't going to care if it's full or not."
"Just give me a full one, please."
He took back the half-empty one and handed me another one.
"Give me one that's still sealed."
He complained, but handed me a brand new one from under the bar. I picked it up and started toward where Snow was sitting. I was about halfway across the room when I noticed his hand disappear beneath the table. I switched the bottle to my left hand and removed the tie-down from my weapon. I stopped about a foot in front of his table.
"I bought a bottle for you. Mind if I join you?"
"Why would I want to drink with you? I'm going to kill you at 6 o'clock this evening."
"I wouldn't bank on that."
"Didn't you come in here with the idea that you're going to call me out?"
"How'd you know that?"
"I've seen a lot of young whippersnappers like you in my life. You all look the same. That hungry look. Have a seat. You might as well enjoy a drink while you still can."
I pulled the chair back and sat down. I pushed the bottle toward him.
"You can open it,"
I told him,
"since it's yours."
He picked it up, looked at it, and said,
"I ain't never had a sealed one before."
"Only the best for Rodney Snow. You deserve it, as it will be your last."
"You sound mighty sure of yourself."
"Just stating facts, that's all."
"You ever think you could be mistaken? Have you ever killed a man before? Have you ever shot at something that was shooting back?"
"There's always a first time. I figure you had your first time."
"Yeah, I had my first a long time ago."
His face clouded in thought.
"My advice to you as one gunman to another is this. Get up from the table, turn around, and walk out that door. There's no reason for you to die."
"I don't plan on being the one dying."
I grinned as I spoke.
"Plans can change, but one thing stays the same every time,"
he said calmly.
"I always leave a body laying dead in the street."
"If I didn't know better, I'd think you was trying to scare me."
"Like I said, just telling you what to expect."
He raised his hand from under the table and twisted the top off the bottle. He poured the brown liquid into two glasses.
"Here's looking at you."
He turned his glass up and downed it. He poured another one. I could see his hand was shaking.
"Not nervous, are you?"
I asked.
"Not a bit," he said hurriedly. "You?"
"Why would I be nervous?"
I half laughed.
"I've been here before," he said. "Whereas it's your first time. Ain't that right?"
He poured another drink, his third since I'd been sitting here. I was still nursing my first.
"You drink a lot, do you?"
"I do all right," he blinked. "Why?"
"Just making conversation."
"Why don't you find someplace else to do your drinking and your talking?"
He turned my glass upside down.
"I'm tired of looking at you."
"Sure, I can do that. I'll be seeing you real soon."
I stood, tipped my hat, turned, and walked away. I could feel his cold glare following me. I nodded to the bartender and walked out the door. The clock on the wall said 5 o'clock. Won't be long now. He showed up at the chosen time, and the rest is history. Now I'm sitting here wondering if this is how Rodney Snow felt on his last day of life.
"What time is it?"
I asked Bart again.
"Why do you keep asking the time?"
Bart asked me.
"Sounds like you're worried."
"Not worried,"
I said.
"Just asking what time it is."
"You've still got half an hour. You know you could change your mind. Folks won't hold it against you, him being so young and all."
"He's not so young. He's old enough to be carrying a gun. That makes him old enough."
"Yeah, but he'll be the youngest man you've killed."
"Don't that bother you none?" You even said yourself he was young. Like I said, he's wearing a gun. It's either me or somebody else down the line. He wants to prove. No, not prove. He's got an itch that won't stop itching until he's scratched it. Maybe he'll be too drunk to show, I thought. Even if he is, there's always tomorrow. Yes, there's always tomorrow. And yesterday, and the nights with the same dreams. Dead men's faces taunting me, always taunting me. There was an old gunfighter told me one time, the only way to stop the dreams is to let your opponent win. It's a guaranteed cure. No more dreams. Sounds too final for me, I told him. I'll just keep having the dreams. Suit yourself, he said, and walked away.
I went back to my hotel room. The clerk nodded to me, then slid behind the curtain. Didn't want to be around me. Some folks are afraid you might lose your cool and take it out on them, so they steer clear of you. I walked up the stairs and into my room. This room had been my home for almost 3 months. That's a long time for me. I usually have to find another room in another town quite often. No matter where I go, there's always somebody wanting to use me as a notch on their gun. I removed my gun belt and hung it on the bedpost. Then I lay down on the bed, my head pounding as the blood rushed to my brain.
Try not to think about it. That's what you have to do. Just don't think about it. Easier said than done. Close your eyes and relax. How can I relax when this might be my last day on earth? I wasn't always this way. I would face anybody, any time, without a care in the world. Is it because I'm the same age as Rodney Snow was when I took him? Sure, that's it. But that don't mean the same thing will happen to me. Or does it?
I tried to sleep, to rest, but I couldn't. I got out of bed and paced the floor, back and forth. I went to the window, pulled the curtain aside, and looked to the street.
It's getting dark. It won't be much longer. Oh, dear Lord, please don't let him show up. Maybe I better check my gun. You just checked it before you laid down. It ain't been but 15 minutes. But go ahead if it'll make you feel better.
I removed the gun from the holster hanging on the post.
Remember when you got this gun? You were only 15. Your ma threw a fit when you brought it home.
What do you need a gun for?
Ma asked with tears in her eyes.
You know if your pa hadn't worn a gun to town, he'd still be alive. What do you need a gun for?
But Ma,
I said, talking fast as if I could convince her,
I'm only going to use it for protection. What if I see a snake or a mountain lion? You want me to be able to protect myself, don't you?
Oh, Flynn Flanagan, what am I going to do if you get yourself killed?
She whined.
You're all I got in the whole world.
I ain't going to get myself killed, Ma. I'm going to be the fastest gun around. You wait and see.
Thank God she didn't live to see how fast I became with a gun. Of course, I didn't become fast overnight. It took many hours of practice to hone the skills I possessed today.
What time is it now? Damn, I don't have a watch. It seems to be getting darker. Is it close to 6 o'clock? I better go downstairs and check.
I strapped on my gun belt, hitching it up and then pushing it down until I was satisfied with how it felt, riding just low enough for my hand to slide the pistol out of the holster swiftly and smoothly. Then I tied the leather string around my leg. I stood and took a deep breath. I opened the door and walked downstairs. The clerk saw me descending the stairs and started to hide behind the curtain, like he did earlier.
Hey!
I hollered.
Hold up a minute.
He froze in mid-stride and turned his frightened face to look at me.
Yes, sir?
He stammered.
Can I help you with something?
You ain't got no reason to be afraid of me,
I told him.
I just need to know what time it is.
He looked at the big clock on the wall behind the desk and pointed.
It's 5:45,
he stammered again.
Will there be anything else, sir?
No,
I said.
Thanks.
He turned and retreated to his back room, or whatever it was back there behind the curtain.
What do I want to do for the next 15 minutes? Now, that's a dumb question. What do you normally do?
I ask myself.
This time don't feel normal. Why is that? Why not go back to the saloon and have another drink with Bart? Sounds like a good idea.
I stepped out onto the wooden sidewalk, noticing that the sun was just starting to disappear below the horizon. It was going to be too dark to shoot if we don't hurry.
Now, there's something you definitely don't want to do in a gunfight. Hurry. You can always ask for a delay until the next day when the sun isn't setting. What are you thinking? You can't do that. Now, it would be different if he wanted to delay.
I reached the saloon, pausing at the door from force of habit, I guess. I pushed through the doors and stood for a second, surveying the room. Every face in the room turned in my direction. I strolled over to the table where Bart was seated, as if I didn't have a care in the world. If you're going to talk the talk, then you better walk the walk. The young man that I was going to kill was standing at the far end of the bar, nursing a beer. I could feel the fear radiating from him. There was a little trickle of sweat running down the side of his face, although it wasn't a particular hot day.
Why, he's as afraid as I am. Maybe more. Maybe he'll turn tail and run. Would you, in his boots? Of course not. A real man can't do that.
What'd you say, kid?
I said, maybe a little too loud.
Let's get this show on the road. Sun's going down, it'll be too dark real soon. You ready?
He swallowed the last of his beer, adjusted his hat, and pushed himself off the bar.
Don't ask me if I'm ready. You need to ask yourself if you're ready. To die.
He started walking toward the door.
I needed to get outside first. If he puts the sun at his back, I'll be at a disadvantage with what little sunlight there is right in my eyes.
I didn't make it, and sure enough, he turned in the street with the sun at his back. I stepped into the hard-packed dirt and faced my opponent and the sun.
Now you've done it. You just had to rush things, didn't you? If you'd only waited a few more minutes, the sun wouldn't be in your face. Well, it won't be the first time to be facing the sun, but it might be your last. Shut up. I don't want to hear no more. Maybe you won't have to after this.
I looked at the man I was going to kill, not because I wanted to, but because that's what I have to do. I have to gauge his every move, a twitch of his eye, a finger moving just a tad, even the way he's breathing. Everything has to be studied and calculated, all in a second or even half a second. I make my move, but I know in my heart of hearts that I'm too late. I feel the slug enter my body just below my heart. It felt like a mule kicked me. My gun slid back into the holster. I looked down at the crimson stain spreading down my shirt. It burned like a hot poker as I fell to my knees. I looked at the kid. He had a surprised look on his face as if he couldn't believe what had just happened. Then he grinned, big and wide, as he pushed his six-shooter back into the holster. The crowd started slinking from their hiding places, slapping the kid on the back and congratulating him. Little did he know at this stage of his life what lay in store for his future. I was laying on my back looking up at the darkening sky, the moon just starting to show in the distance.
"I'm here, Flynn,"
I heard Bart's voice, though I couldn't focus on his face.
"Somebody sent for the doctor."
"Don't need a doctor."
I spit blood as I tried to talk.
"Need undertaker. You tell Malone to throw away his gun. It ain't no life for anybody. You tell him, will you?"
"I'll tell him. You rest easy. Here's the doc."
I felt it as he ripped my shirt open. Then he poked around after wiping the blood away.
"Flynn, I'm going to shoot straight with you," the doctor said. "You ain't going to make it."
"Tell me something I don't know."
Blood spewing from my lips.
"It burns like the devil's own pitchfork. Can you give me something?"
"By the time I got back with something, it'd be too late. If you're a believer, you need to make your peace with God."
"Dear Lord."
This has been The Gunfight, a Western short story. Written by J.C. Hulsey. Narrated by Bob Rundell. Copyright March 26, 2015 by J.C. Hulsey. Production copyright 2015 by Outlaws Publishing, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.